direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
Well, it has been properly said that the greatest truth, the greatest attribute of God that needs to be recovered in the church today is His holiness. That our God is a consuming fire, that He dwells in an approachable light, that His sheer majesty and glory and holiness is so pure, so glorious, that any sinner that comes into His presence without a covering will be utterly destroyed. That message is absent from the church today, and it needs to be recovered. That is what Exodus 32 is really teaching us today. The Lord had come down. The Lord had done something wonderful for Israel in delivering them. He had gone to great pains and great power and work to deliver them from bondage, delivering them and bringing them now on the glory road to the promised land, but it's through a wilderness. And here they are in Exodus chapter 32, stuck at the foot of Sinai, as Moses has been up on the mountain now for 40 days. Here's the scene. The mob mentality has come. Israel is done with waiting. The wilderness journey is too hard. They could have gone back and sat by the pots of meat in Egypt. We know they're going to say that. Here's verse 1 of chapter 32. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Outside of the fall, this has got to be one of the saddest events in the whole Bible. How can you say that? No one reading this account today could ever say that Moses brought them up out of the land of Egypt. It was the Lord who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt. The Lord had been visually going before them. And what this all exposes is that the minute things got hard for Israel, and it wasn't turning out to be the prosperity message, it wasn't turning out to be a prosperity gospel, what happened? Their hearts turned away from the Lord. And they turned their wrath upon the servant. But now 40 days at the foot of the mountain, nothing's happening. There's no action. We're not going anywhere. This Moses is gone and nothing's happening. He's supposed to be helping us. He's supposed to be leading us forward. We're bored here. We didn't just come out of Egypt to sit at the foot of Sinai. We're stagnant. The whole thing is overrun with impatience. The dissatisfaction has continued to grow until it got so bad, the anger got so bad, they go to Aaron. "Aaron, make us gods that shall go before us." That's it. We're ready to move. "You make us a god, Aaron, that'll go." You see, it wasn't really aimed at Moses, was it? It was aimed at God. This God is not moving us forward. This God is not helping us. Give us a new one. Now, at this point, we should remember that the very first thing the Lord said in this covenant on Sinai was that, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me." You see, essentially, the Lord was saying, "I alone am God. There are no others. I delivered you. Don't put any other gods before me." Remember, for years they had lived in the land, and in every home in Egypt, there was a visible idol to which people could see, they could touch, they could experience, and they could worship. Pharaoh even was viewed as a god before the people. So what they perceived to be an alive god was one they could see, touch, and handle. All the gods of the nations are idols anyways, right? But here's the thing. they could see the gods this way. They could touch them. They could handle them. So in verse 2, when they say, come, make us gods, that was a direct rejection of the covenant they had agreed to enter into. And remember what they said, we will keep the words of this covenant. So verse 2, Aaron said to them, break off your gold earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the gold earrings which were in their ears, and they brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Well, the plot thickens. It's tragic because this was the very gold that was the Lord's gift to them when he plundered the Egyptians for them in bringing them out of Egypt. They take all of God's gracious provision and they hand it over to Aaron because they're tired of where this God has them. And in exchange, Aaron hammers out a state-of-the-art, beautiful image of the most powerful god of Egypt. This was Isis, the bull of fertility. Aaron presents this bull. In verse 5, dear listeners, awful. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Here he is. Now I want to stop for a minute and reflect today on what the Lord is showing us. What is this teaching us so far, dear listener? Well, the New Testament tells us something about Israel out in the wilderness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, all of these things are recorded for us as an example that we would not do the same things. And we have seen that Israel's entire experience in the wilderness parallels ours. Isn't this just a picture of our life in the wilderness? We are just like them, sitting between the cross and heaven, the Red Sea and the Promised Land. The wilderness journey is a picture of life. Here we are for a 40-day period, which in the Bible becomes a time period symbolic of testing in the wilderness. We are tested with a simple test. Will we live by every word which proceeds from the mouth of the Lord? Will we trust him? Will we believe him? Or will we turn from him to our own ways, our own gods? Now think of the scenario. Israel is out in the wilderness, no comforts, no home, no enduring city. Pilgrims they are, feeling like they're going nowhere. Isn't that just the experience we often have even as Christians? You know, if you're a Christian today, you attend a church, and I pray and trust you're attending a church where the gospel's preached, where the minister's expositing the word of God, not using the Bible to manipulate, expositing, teaching that word. You have the Lord preached to you in power, the saving work of Christ on the cross. It is so victorious, isn't it? It is conquering. We announce as gospel preachers, Christ has defeated all of your enemies. Christ has overcome. You hear the gospel. Why is it that once we experience that, there's sweet delight in the Lord, all until I begin to actually now live and go down the wilderness path? Why does it seem that God is often absent? Where does he go? Why do I feel like he's walked away from me? How many of you listening today feel that in your faith, in your journey? You're going nowhere. Maybe you don't like where the Lord has you today. Maybe your circumstances are not what you expected, or things have turned out differently than you expected. This is Israel. They're at the foot of the mountain. This is not what we expected when we came up out of Egypt. And what begins to happen? We murmur. We attack religious leaders. We get angry at them. We begin to grumble, and that grumbling turns into anger. And what it all exposes is a certain idolatry of our hearts, that we want life on our terms, that we are desperately trying to dethrone the only true God. You see, doesn't this just show that the idols of Egypt were very much still enthroned on their hearts? Sin is what? Sin is doing what God forbids. Sin is breaking God's law. And the fact is, I run to those gods when I am tested and tried and dissatisfied with where the true God has me. I run to the other gods for some kind of temporary fill instead of the true God. That's why you struggle with the same old sins. If you have one sin that continues to dominate your life, why does it continue to do that? You know why? It's an idol. Because you're continuing to run to it to provide you relief from the pains of living in the wilderness instead of trusting the Lord. As one pastor said, the reason we struggle with sin is because it's in our hearts. It's not in the refrigerator. It's not on the internet. It's in our hearts. We still cherish the old idolatries. The reality is we quickly jump back into them. Now, we may not form a golden calf. Oh, I'm not so primitive as to do that, right? But what this exposes is that the worst kind of idolatry is in us when we turn God into the kind of God we want him to be. You know, it's interesting what happens at this point in the account. Israel has what? Israel has a grand worship service. The first real worship experience at the foot of the mountain. You know what I'm entitling this message this week? Israel's worship experience. What was it like? Was it great? Was it high? Finally, they got some action at the foot of the mountain. Finally, they got something alive. Finally, they could have a circumstance that made them experience God in a way that made them feel alive. Why do I say that? The curious thing here is, how did Aaron get caught up in this? I believe Aaron knew this was wrong, but he caved to appease an angry mob. Why do I say that? The law of the altar was given back in chapter 21. It gave specific instructions on how to build an altar to the Lord while offering burnt and peace offerings. Notice what Aaron does in verse 5. When Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. This is the golden calf. When he saw the golden calf, he built an altar, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." That, dear listener, is the holy name of God. We read, they rose up early the next day, offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. What did they do? They took the idol and they mingled it with the true worship of Yahweh. That was the most dangerous thing they could have done. Their idolatrous hearts wanted a good worship experience out in the wilderness. They wanted the glory now. They wanted everything to be alive now, but they hadn't reached the land yet. They would not wait upon the Lord. And all of this exposed a horrid idolatry in the heart. And when that was brought out, it trampled the holiness of God underfoot. Oh, let's regard the Lord as holy. Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in London. We are a church where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's Days are the worship service times. LyndonURC.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.